express my personal appreciation for the fact that you've come. It's a good crowd today. We welcome each one of you. Thankful for your interest in coming. Pick up the book to study. We may learn some things that hopefully will be of help to us that we can make practical application of in our daily lives. Appreciate the good reading a few moments ago from Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, where the Lord said, many will say to him in that day. That got me to thinking, what would you say to Jesus? That brings to mind the thought, the question of our study. We sing couple of songs in this book, 646, Just a Little Talk with Jesus. It suggests I was once lost in sin, but Jesus took me in, and then a little light from heaven filled my soul, bathed my heart in love, and wrote my name above. Now, just a little talk with Jesus makes me whole. Sometimes my past seems drear, without a ray of cheer, and then a cloud of doubt may hide the light of day. The mist of sin may rise and hide the starry skies, but just a little talk with Jesus clears the way. I may have doubts and fears. My eyes may be filled with tears, but Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. I go to him in prayer. He knows my every care, and just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Then the words of the chorus. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry, and he will answer by and by. Now, when you feel a little prayerful yearning, as your heart unto heaven is turning, you will find a little talk with Jesus. Makes it right. Got to thinking about that. If you had occasion to have a little talk with Jesus, what would you say to Jesus? And then a song number 240 that says, tell it to Jesus. Are you weary? Are you heavy-hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving over joys departed? Tell it to Jesus alone. Do the tears flow down your cheeks unbidden? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Have you sins that to man's eyes are hidden? Tell it to Jesus alone. Do you fear the gathering clouds of sorrow? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you anxious what shall be tomorrow? Tell it to Jesus alone. Are you troubled at the thought of dying? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. For Christ's coming daily, are you sighing? Tell it to Jesus alone. And the chorus of this song says, tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You have no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. If you can have just a little talk with Jesus, or you can tell it to Jesus, what would you say to Jesus? That's what I'm asking today. First of all, would you say to Jesus, I have sinned? I suggest that these three words, I have sinned, are the most important words any of us can ever utter. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 13, these words were spoken by David after he'd gone into Bathsheba and attempted to cover it up. As recorded in 2 Samuel 12, verse 13, he said, I have sinned against the Lord. 2 Samuel chapter 24, in verse 10, David's heart is said to have smote him after that he had numbered the people. Have you ever had your heart to smite you? What's that mean when you've been smitten by your heart? That's when your conscience bothers you. After you numbered the people and his heart smote him, the Bible says, David said to the Lord, what did you say to the Lord, David? I've sinned great in that I've done. In Psalm 41 and verse 4, it is recorded, I said, Lord, what did you say to the Lord? Be merciful unto me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. And so I'm wondering if you could have a little talk with Jesus. Would you say, Lord, be merciful unto me, for I have sinned against thee. Borrowing language from the story of the lost son, Luke chapter 15. Would you say to Jesus, as one said, I have sinned and am not worthy, as reported in Luke 15, verses 18 and 21. Or would you say to Jesus, as another said, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. Verse 29. How many act as if they've never done anything wrong? Never transgressed the commandment. Not guilty of sin. You know, the Bible says if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. 1 John 1, 8 through 10. Because we have sinned. And so if I could have a little talk with Jesus, I might just say, I have sinned. Be merciful unto me. I might say, like Peter did in Luke chapter 5 and verse 8, I am a sinful man, O Lord. What would you say to Jesus? Would you say to Jesus as the publican in his prayer in Luke chapter 18 and verse 13, be merciful to me, a sinner? What would you say to Jesus if you could have a little talk with him today? Would you say, I have sinned? Or would you act like you've never done anything wrong? Would you boast of all that you've done like the Pharisee? I do this and I do that. And I'm thankful I'm not like other men are. What would you say to Jesus? Let me ask you another question. Would you say to Jesus, I'm sorry? Would you say, I'm sorry, Lord? If you had the opportunity to have a little talk with him, would you talk with him about how sorry you are for the things that you've done wrong in your life? You remember Peter who denied the Lord? Not once, not twice, but three times, and began to curse and to swear. And the Lord said that's what would happen. He said that before the rooster crow or the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he heard the rooster crow, recognizing what he had done and denying the Lord, Matthew reports in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 75, that Peter went out and wept bitterly. He wept bitterly. I believe that here was a man who was genuinely remorseful. And if he could have had a little talk with Jesus, no doubt he would have said, I'm sorry, Lord. And if he could have gone back, he would have undone that. He would have unsaid that. Have you ever heard the rooster crow where it occurs to you what you've done and you wish that you could go back and you could unthink that, you could unsay that, you could undo that. But you can't go back, can you? But if you could have a little talk with Jesus, would you say, I'm sorry, Lord? You know, the prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 5, foretold about Jesus, saying he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. When you read the crucifixion scenes of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you think of all that he experienced, wounded, bruised, his stripes, happened in Matthew 27 and in verse 26, when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Would you say, I'm sorry, Lord, when you think about the fact that it was for our transgressions, for our iniquities, our peace was upon him. We are healed with his stripes. I think about those words. I think about my transgressions instead of our my iniquities. And so he was crucified for me. He was wounded for me. He was bruised for me. His stripes were for me. And so would you say, I'm sorry, Lord, for all that you had to go through on behalf of me. All that I put you through. Acts 8, we find the eunuch reading this scripture, Isaiah chapter 53, where he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and the Bible says, Philip preached unto him Jesus. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 3, we read where Christ died for our sins. Our sins. Crucified to save our sins. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4, Paul pointed out that he gave himself for our sins. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 26, it is taught that he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Why was he sacrificed? Why did he experience all of that? For sin. I have sinned. He went through all that for me. If I had all the words in the vocabulary, could I begin to tell the Lord how sorry I am for what I have done that caused him to bear the sins of many? Hebrews 9:28. As Peter said in 1 Peter 2 and verse 24, through his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree. In his own body. What did he do? He bare our sins. Read the crucifixion scene. Look at what he went through. Why did he do that? For our sins. In 1 Peter 3 and 18, it is said, Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh. John said in 1 John 2, 2, he is the propitiation for our sins. And in 1 John 3, 5, you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. And so let me ask you, if you could have a little talk with Jesus, if you could tell it to Jesus, would you say how sorry you are for what you've put him through, for all that he had to go through on behalf of you and me? I'd have to tell him how sorry I am. I tell you something else, though. I'd have to tell him. If I had a little opportunity to have a face-to-face talk to Jesus, heart-to-heart talk, I'd say thank you. Thank you, Lord. I hope that I wouldn't be like the 9 lepers we read about in Luke chapter 17, when 10 were cleansed and 1 returned to give glory to God, who fell on his face and his feet, giving him thanks. I hope that I'd be like that individual who fall down and give thanks to the Lord for what he's done. But the majority of them didn't do that. Jesus said, we're not 10 cleansed, but we are the 9. Would you have been like the 9 and just gone your way without saying, thank you, Lord? Would you have been like the 1 and said thank you? If you could have a little talk with Jesus, could you say thank you? If you had all the words in the vocabulary, could you begin to tell him how thankful you are for what he's done for you? Paul said in the book of Romans chapter 1 and verse 8, as well as in chapter 7 and verse 25, I thank my God through Jesus Christ. I believe that every day Paul is thankful to God for Jesus Christ and for what Christ had done for him. Think about who he was. Remember in Acts chapter 7 when Stephen was being put to death? Paul, formerly known as Saul of Tarsus, was there holding the clothes, giving his consent. Chapter 8, making havoc of the church. Chapter 9, on his way to Damascus to persecute Christians. The Lord appeared to him. And he said in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord. Don't you think that if Paul could have had a little talk with Jesus, he'd say, thank you, Lord, for counting me faithful, putting me into the ministry. That's 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. Thank you, Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Would you tell him how thankful you are? Perhaps the song, Worthy is the Lamb, would well express the sentiments of our heart if we could have a little talk with Jesus. Would you say, thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid. Bearing all my sin and shame, in love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, Lord. Thank you for the nail-pierced hands. Wash me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness and embrace. Worthy is the Lamb seated on the throne. Crown you now with many crowns. You reign victorious, high and lifted up. Jesus, Son of God, the darling of heaven crucified. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. If you could have a little talk with Jesus, what would you say? Would you say thank you? Something else I want to ask. If you can have a little talk with Jesus, if you can tell it to Jesus, would you say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I'll read where Saul had an encounter with the Lord, as the Lord appeared to him on that Damascus road in Acts chapter 9 and verse 6. And he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Here's an opportunity to have a little talk with Jesus, to say something to Jesus. What did he say? He said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Would you ask that? He said, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" You know, if we ask that today, he might just say, "Have you not read? Have you never read?" Right? He might just ask that. Because we have his will at all. You know, the New Testament is the last will and testament of Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 9, verses 15 through 17, the Bible says, "For this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth." If you were to have a will made out, you would be called the testator. And in order for your will or your testament to become effective, you must die. When Christ died, his will, his testament, became effective. After we're dead and gone, the only way that people will know our wishes is to read our will. Now, what are Christ's wishes for us today? What would he have us to do? We read his will. Read the New Testament. And we'll learn what it is that Christ would have us to do. In the book of Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10, it is said, "By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." And as we read his will, by which we are sanctified, we ought to have the determination that whatever he would have us to do, that's what we're going to do. Matthew chapter 28, when the apostles were sent out to reveal his will to all the world, Jesus said in verse 20, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." And we need to have the attitude that is shown in Luke chapter 5 in that fishing expedition in verse 5 when Simon said, "Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net." Whether we understand it or not, whether we see any sense in their not, we don't maybe appreciate the wisdom behind it. That's what the Lord said. That's what's in his will. And so that's what we're going to do. What would you have me to do? I'll read the New Testament. I'll learn what he'd have me to do. And then I need to have the determination to do that. Just like the Spirit in the book of John in chapter 2 that his mother had when we have the first miracle of Jesus turning the water to wine. When his mother saith unto the servants in John 2 and verse 5, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." And so as I think about these songs and I think about this concept, many will say to me in that day, if you were given an opportunity to have just a little talk with Jesus, or you could say something to Jesus, what would you say to Jesus? Would you say, as Saul did, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Would you say, as the one leper, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for washing me from my sins. Thank you for what you've made me. Thank you for giving me a fresh start. Thank you for giving me a clean slate. Thank you for the blessings that I have now in you. Thank you." Would you say, "I'm sorry"? Would you say, as some, "Be merciful to me, for I have sinned against thee"? What would you say to Jesus? But you know, Matthew chapter 7 looks forward to a future day, the day of accountability and judgment. Many will say to me in that day, shows that at the judgment there will be conversations that men have with the Lord and the Lord has with men. There are some words that will be exchanged at the judgment. There is coming a day in which we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. What would you say to him on that day? Would you say, as stated in the text, Matthew 7:22, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. If you haven't obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, what would you say to Jesus? What excuse would you offer to him for not accepting his invitation? If you've not been baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, what would you say to Jesus? What would you say about that? What excuse would you offer as to why you didn't obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, the power of God unto salvation, Romans 1:16. If you're not living faithfully unto him and are aware of that, you recognize your need to straighten up, make some changes in your life. But for whatever reason, you don't do that. What would you say to Jesus? What would you offer as an excuse for not being faithful and steadfast? What would you say to him? I just want you to think about that, to be challenged by that today. What would you say to Jesus? He extended an invitation in the words, "Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Have you answered that call? Have you accepted his invitation to come to him? Or have you made a lie? Have you get lots of invitations? Some of those you just disregard, you set aside. What about this one? The greatest of all. You come to him by hearing his word, believing his word, and obeying his word. Repenting of your sins. Be remorseful, like Peter expressed when he went out and went bitter. Come to the recognition, I sin, and I'm going to turn away from that. I'm going to quit it and do what the Bible teaches I need to be doing. To confess with your mouth, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I'm going to be buried with him in baptism. I'm going to crucify that old man of sin and bury him in baptism and rise as he arose the third day to walk in newness of life, a new sphere of life. Not the old man of sin, but the new life of righteousness. And I can say that Paul, I crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Have you obeyed the gospel, but it's not been what you need to be? You have sin in your life that you need to correct. Need to return to the shepherd and bishop of your soul. And need to have a little talk. You need to say, I have sinned. You know, Simon found himself in that situation, Acts chapter 8, after he was baptized. His heart was not right in the sight of God. He was told, repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thy heart may be forgiven. That's Acts 8:20-23. John said in 1 John 1:9, we talked about 8 and 10, where we can't say we haven't sinned. Okay? We have. But he said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Maybe those in this audience today who need to come obeying the gospel, hearing the word, to believe it, to obey it, and turning from sin, to confess faith in the Son of God, to be baptized. We're ready to assist you in that. You've obeyed, but you've not been faithful. Personal, private, talk to God about that. Pray to God about that. You need our prayers. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We cordially invite you to come. As we stand and sing the song, don't be almost persuaded, but all together, come now and stand and sing.